Hello, this is Wade. You know, it's always my hope that you'll be blessed and inspired in your walk with the Lord as you listen today.
So, Luke chapter 8, verse 22 through 25. This is a familiar passage. If you have probably heard it at least two or three sermons on this topic. It says this: one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and suddenly the storm stopped, and all was calm. And then he asked them, "Where is your faith?" And the disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "When he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him." Let's pray. Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just surrender myself to you right now. I ask, Lord, that you'd put me on like a suit of clothes. That, Lord, you would speak through me this morning. Lord, there's a divine appointment here. I know there is. And Lord, I ask, God, that you would fulfill it now in the name and the great power of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Now, I don't know about you if you've ever been in storms. I lived on the West Coast. I was born on the East Coast. I've been everywhere. My dad was in the Navy. He was a lifer, and I have been just about every place you can imagine. And one of the things that I did discover in California is that there are earthquakes out there. How many of you know there are earthquakes out there? I had never experienced an earthquake before, and we were sitting there eating grilled cheese sandwiches in a place called Santee, California. It's near Poway. It's also near Miramar, and for you who are Top Gun fans, that's where Top Gun originated, was in Miramar Naval Air Base there in San Diego. And anyway, we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, my grilled cheese starts to vibrate across the table. And I'm like looking at it going, "What in the world?" And I thought maybe a heavy truck was coming down the road or something like that. And all of a sudden the table and the china began to just rattle. And all of a sudden it was amazing, because what happened when it was over, everybody was outside on their porch looking at everybody else. Because we're all like, did we just feel what we felt like we just felt? And that was some power to move that. There are, in Kansas, every once in a while, you'll feel some shakes and quakes from Oklahoma and some of the things that have down, usually originates down in that area. But I think none of us can really ever surpass the power of a tornado. And some of you have lived through those tornadoes. You've seen them coming your way. I can remember in Beloit, we had a group of boys that were there in technical college there, and all of a sudden there was a tornado warning. The sirens went off, and you know what all those boys did? They went outside looking for it. I was driving my high patrol car across 70 one day, and I saw a twister on the ground, and three cars from back east someplace stopped to take pictures. And it was heading towards them. And I thought, maybe the whole herd needs to be thinned here. something's not right with that, you know? But one of the most impressive things I've ever witnessed in my life is I was driving up in northern Wisconsin. And northern Wisconsin is just heavily treed. And a tornado went through that area. And as I was coming over a rise, off to the kind of the northeast, you could just see where the tornado hit those trees. And it was about an eighth of a mile, like someone went in with a giant lawnmower and just mowed them all down. I mean, as far as your eye could see, and it disappeared on the other side of the hill. And I thought, now that is power. seeing how thick those trees were, and yet they succumbed to that kind of power and strength. We had a friend of ours who, back in the church that I used to pastor, they lost their house in a storm, and they had a storm shelter, and it was a good thing that they were not there, because the storm shelter collapsed, and if they'd been in there, they would have died. You know, we kind of just quake and shake at the power of nature. It's an amazing thing. How many of you have ever been to the beach and tried to stand up against a wave? How many of you got knocked over? That's what happens. It is just an amazing thing. And that's just a little wave, not a big one. And so it's just amazing. God's power is not just greater. When Jesus said, be still and calm, his power, God's power, is not just greater than the storms of life and the physical storms that we see, but God's strength is actually the source of that power. When you think about Elijah, who came out on the mountain and stood there, and he was waiting for the presence of God to show up, remember all the stuff that happened? And God wasn't in any of that. But when God came, it was in a quiet whisper. God has all power. And the storm that we see in this story is nothing but a derivative of the power of God. It borrowed the power from God. If you have power today in your job, if you're a manager or whatever it is, it has been given to you temporarily by God. And that's the way it works. And you can't do anything else about that. So it's basically on loan from God. It actually is. And so what I think so amazing about this is we pay attention to this, is that how the disciples were amazed. That's what I think is amazing. I mean, hadn't they at this time seen him cause deaf eyes to see? Hadn't he already opened ears of deaf people? How many miracles had they witnessed? But here was one that they knew. The majority of the disciples were sailors. They were fishermen. They were on the lakes all the time. And this storm, you know one thing they knew for sure. Nobody can say to the wind and the waves, hey, peace, be still. And it happens. But when Jesus did that, they're like terrified. They were amazed. Who is this guy? You think they would have known who this guy was, but they didn't know who this guy was. They didn't know at all. And this goes to show you something, that in life, the storms that we face primarily shock us and surprise us. Have you ever noticed that when things go wrong in your life, they shock you? They surprise you? How many of you go through life going, well, today's a great day, but someday, sometime at this day, the shoe's going to fall off, and it's going to be terrible. How many of you wake up with that? Not too many of us do. We all pray that it'll be a great day, and we go about our business, and all of a sudden, the tire's flat. You're late for work. Isn't it always in bunches, right? I can tell you a story. My wife, and she's in nursery, so I can talk freely here. When we first started following God, we were in a very legalistic church, And we kind of almost had the impression that if circumstances happened to you and they were negative, that that was a result of you being out of God's will. Can I tell you that you can have the worst day of your life and be right in the middle of God's will? Just because things are going wrong all around you doesn't mean that God somehow has abandoned you. He's right there with you. But sometimes God has a way of stretching us in the storms of our life. My wife and I, we drove out to Oakley, Kansas. I knew a guy out there, and my wife loved his wife. We met when we graduated from police academy down in Hutchinson. And we were just good friends, it was one of those guys you met and you just thought, man, we'll be friends for life. And so we drove out, and we didn't have much money, and I just wanted to get out of town. I just wanted to get out of Dodge. How many of you sometimes want to get out, right? I mean, just leave, have some fun. And that's what we did. We went came to Oakley, Kansas, of all things, but it wasn't my house, right? And we got a hotel room, we got a swimming pool, you know, and the kids were all excited. And so we're just having a good time. I went out to eat. My friend introduced me to the greatest Pizza Hut pizza ever, and that is Barbecue Pizza. Barbecue pizza, man, I love that. Barbecue beef, dude, I'm telling you, you can't get any better than that. I mean, as soon as I ate that, I was like, man, let's order another one of them. I mean, it was awesome. And I still, me and Joel still get that, don't we, Joel? Yes, me and Joel always share a pizza when we get it. And so that's just the way it was. So we're having a great time. Everything's great. It's wonderful. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this. And my wife's just happy we came. She goes, this was a lot of fun. I go, I know, man. It was great, you know. And we're driving. And we're starting to leave now. We're going to have to head home. I got to teach Sunday school in the morning, you know. And I mean, it's just so exciting. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this. And I get to about, I would say Grainfield. And I hear something. And I'm like, what is that? And she goes, sounds like you're dragging something behind a car. And I'm like, what? She goes, yeah. So I pull over, and sure enough, my muffler's hanging off just by a thread, just hanging there. And I'm dragging it. And I'm like, this is not good. So I tear it off the rest of the way. It's got this sound, you know, it's just roar, and I'm like, this is not even headers, you know, I mean, this is just plain pipe from the manifold, and it's just loud, and it's obnoxious, and I can't hear Jody can't hear me, and she's going, maybe we shouldn't have went on this trip, and I'm like, this is just a small thing, it's no big deal. So we're driving, we go north, we're heading towards Hoxie, and we start driving into Hoxie, and I see a police officer, and he's getting out, and I'm like just coasting into town, because I notice that when I'm coasting, you can't hear this car at all. It's just quiet, right? It's just, oh, this is great, I love it. And we're talking, the kids are going, why is it so loud? You know, they're still hearing it back in the back seat. And we're driving along there, and everything's just wonderful. I mean, it's great. It's fun. It's exciting. I'm happy that we're at least we're moving. The engine didn't blow or anything like that, you know. So I'm like, yeah. And so I see the police officer, and I'm like, man, I better be cool near him. So I drive by, and as I start to hit the gas, because I'm going up a hill, and I'm like, I have to get gas. And so it ramps up. And, of course, I'm looking in my rearview mirror, and sure enough, he's watching me drive off, and he just shrugs and goes into the restaurant. Praise God. And so I get, and we're heading on 24 Highway, and we're heading over, and we go through Hill City, and it's loud. And about Hill City, somewhere in there, we're coming around this corner, kind of a curve, and all of a sudden, something huge swoops down right in front of the car, and we hit it. And I can see this massive wing flapping over the front of the car like this as the wind is whipping it. And I'm like, what is that? So I pull over, and it's a great horned owl. His eyes wide open, his talons out like this. He's embedded in the grill of my car. And I'm like, is he alive? Is he dead? And I'm looking. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him. And I'm like, and I kind of touch his wing, kind of pull on it. He's not doing anything. I'm like, he's either knocked out or he's dead. I'm going to take a chance. So I begin to just pull the feather in the wing, and I pull it out, and it flops on the ground. He's dead. But now I got a hole in my grill. And I'm like, get in the car. And Jody says, I don't think we should have came. I don't think this is the will of God. And I'm like, oh, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. We're okay. And we're driving along. We get over by Stockton, and I see this Jeep of teenagers, and they throw something out of the back of the truck, out of the Jeep, and they're watching. And I'm like, I didn't see them throw something. Jody did, but I didn't. And about that time, I feel something hit right underneath the floorboard where my feet are, and it rolls underneath the vehicle. I never did discover what it was, and I'm just driving along, and I'm like, and as we pass them, they're all laughing and pointing, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. They must have threw something out of the car. And Jody goes, I saw them do it. I go, oh, okay. So, you know, we're driving. We get through Stockton, and we're driving out, and all of a sudden, I look down at my gas gauge, and it was full. And now it's almost empty. And I'm like, oh. And I pull over. I get out. And there's gas leaking out of a massive hole in my gas tank. And I ran back to Jody. I said, you got gum in your mouth? She goes, yeah. I go, give it to me. And I go up there and I stick it in the hole trying to slow it down. And I drive back to town. And we pull into there's a hotel right there. And the hotel, you'll never believe this. It's the Owl Hotel, okay? God's got a sense of humor, I'm telling you. God's got a sense of humor. And I'm like, so I drop my wife and kids at the hotel, and I go over to a service station, and I get into the service station. I said, I got this massive hole, you know, and he goes, well, how much money do you have? I go, and we didn't have a checkbook then. I mean, we were doing everything by cash, and I had like $6, $8, something like that, you know. I mean, I spent all the money. This is how we operated. And he goes, who in the world travels all across the state of Kansas without money? And I'm like, me. And so he goes, well, I'll tell you what. And I told him I was a police officer, showed him my badge to prove it and everything. I said, I promise to pay you. He goes, you better pay me. And so he filled my tank up to half, and he put a boiler plug in. Well, as I'm getting ready to leave to go get my wife and kids, I look in the rearview mirror. I'm thanking them. I'm just like in tears almost. I'm like thanking them. Thank you so much. I'll make sure we get the check. I'll get it out to you. If I have to drive it out here, I'll drive it out here. And he goes, okay. And as he's got a buddy there, and he says something. Is that going to hold? And I look in my rearview mirror when he said that, and I look down in the rearview mirror, and the guy goes, it'll never hold. And I'm like, I pulled up to that hotel, and I went in there, and I said, honey, get the kids. They were going to put us up for the night for free. That was pretty nice of them. But I said, get in the car. We're going to leak gas all the way home, but we're getting home. And I drove fast all the way home. I mean, I'm driving. The noise is deafening. The kids are passed out in the back. Jody, she's given up, you know, and we're just heading home as fast as I can. I get on Highway 9 between Beloit and Concordia, where we lived at in Concordia, and I come over these hills. If you ever travel on Highway 9, it's just like this, all the way, just like that, sort of like going up to Atwood, I think, just, you know, all up and down, and it's narrow, and it's just like, and all of a sudden, this biggest raccoon I've ever seen in my life comes out of the ditch, and we roll this raccoon. And I'm like, I don't care. And I'm just, and I'm heading home. We get up to my house. We pull in. And I kid you not, as soon as we open the door, we are met by a stench. We had just paid for all our groceries and stocked up and everything. And the refrigerator had died while we were gone. Jody's not saying anything. I'm not saying anything. I put the kids to bed, we come in, we clean up, throw out, and I'll just be honest with you, we are defeated at this point. We're exhausted, we're tired, we're beat up. Next morning, I come to church, and the pastor had a message that was just for me and Jody. Nobody else probably got a thing out of it, but me and Jody did. And it was all about how God is with you through the storms. Because you don't have the ability to conquer and control. And there are going to come times in this life when you have no control. You absolutely have nothing that you can do to overcome it. You have nothing that you can do to do anything about it. This story in the Bible here is a story about the insecurity of life. We can't control everything. And we want to, we desperately want to, but we can't do that. Not only that, but if we would take refuge in Jesus Christ, the great thing is that we can never be swept away. We might be injured, we may be knocked down, but we are never defeated as long as Jesus Christ is our refuge. He is our hiding place. He is the source of our strength. He is the source of our joy. And there is nothing that comes good from any place except God be in it in the first place. My friends, God promised he would be with you through thick and thin, through all the storms of life. He'll be right there by your side. and you will go through the storms of life. And what's so amazing about this story is what happens at the end of this story. Because you don't even realize that just a couple pericopes later, we see this. Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. And the disciples needed to know that God can overcome every power that is in this world, every principality, every power. He is in charge of all of it. And every knee from every power must bow one day before him. Now, my story's not over, because as we sat there in that church that morning, there was a gentleman that was a retired police officer. And they were like an extra set of grandparents to my kids. They loved my son. They loved my daughter. I didn't have my third son at that time yet, but they loved him. And they heard Jody was telling Bernice, his wife, what happened to us the night before. And he came to us and he said, "You know what? I want to pay for your refrigerator. I'll give you the money. I want you to pay me back, but I'm going to give it to you." And I said, "That'd be great," because that was a used refrigerator. It was all I could afford. And I've learned since then, don't buy used utilities. I don't do it. I don't buy, some of you guys might buy a used washer, dryer, whatever. I'm not doing it anymore. It's got to be new or nothing, okay? Especially if it can go wrong. And so that's just me. That's my lesson. But I just want to say this to you. That refrigerator is still in my basement at home, in my house. It has the coldest ability. I can put a Coke in there, and I'm telling you what, it just burns all the way down. It feels so good. God has kept that thing alive all of these years. I just want you to understand that the sleeping Jesus, can I just say this to you? You've been warned that sometimes God will act like he's asleep at the switch. But here's the thing about God. He'll never be rushed. He has a purpose in everything he does. And sometimes he wants to test us and stretch us and show himself strong in our lives. Because this is what I know. God does not act the way we want him to in the storms of life. As we were at the emergency room yesterday, I wanted to go in and pray. I wanted to be able to lay my hands on Lori. But that wasn't what was supposed to happen. So we sat there for an hour, and I said, "Honey, I don't think we're going to get to go in." But it was good that their family was there. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, I would just love to lay hands and God heal. But God is not rushed. He has a reason and a purpose that's beyond our own understanding. And this is a hard thing for us to really grasp. Can I just say this to you? God doesn't act the way we want him to, when we want him to. Because if he did, he wouldn't be God. And maybe that makes you angry, maybe that hurts you. But can I tell you, you've got to just hang in there. Timothy Keller says this: you need to always look forward in life. Don't look back, look forward. Look forward with expectation and hope. You have to have hope in this life. And as long as your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have hope. Amen. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. Lord, you are able to do the impossible.
Hey, this is Pastor Wade. Thanks so much for stopping by and listening today. And like always, my prayer is that the Lord would bless you and guard your heart for that day.